lawns are icy and shit, like shit that's not in the sunlight.
Yep. Well, it is the first day of December, so that is appropriate.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's Game and Skrillex, the collaboration you always were begging for.
Talking about El Chapo.
Yes, rapping about El Chapo. Very hot topic. Skrillex feels very strongly about El Chapo, for sure.
I guess Billboard tried to do a couple of photo shoots with Skrillex, and it was slightly challenging because he hates being photographed.
Weird, then he would say, yes, let's...
Well, I think his label, or whoever was putting on whatever thing he was promoting, was trying to get him to do it. Or it might have been for some number ones or like EDM. I don't know, it was an EDM thing.
Yeah.
They're doing an EDM feature. I guess he has fairly bad skin from, like, you know, acne scarring and such.
Sure, yeah.
So he's not big on...
I feel like I've seen enough photos of him to... to agree with that, I guess.
Yeah. But whatever.
I mean. Yeah.
Also, when you do those shoots, they will make you up and make you look good, so...
Maybe that's the part he hates. Maybe he wants to keep it real.
Sure.
And everyone's like, no, we know. Come on.
No, Skrillex, you are not allowed to keep it real.
It's like, no, I need to keep it real here, guys. Picture of both my laptops in this picture. Your seat warmer's on. I don't know if you want it that
way. No, that's
way,
good. I'm cool with that. Yeah. I could stand to have a warm butt.
Yeah. I've heard that about you.
Yeah. No, I don't like cold butts.
No. You cannot lie about it. I was, like, glancing at Twitter this morning, and it seems like, one Eric Pope just discovered the Judgment Night soundtrack.
Oh, shit.
Today.
Fuck. I don't know how it's possible. I know for a fact that me and Sean Baptiste have had lengthy conversations about how good the Judgment Night soundtrack is in that office. Oh. Oh, man, he's on a journey of discovery today.
Yeah. I just responded and said, that's probably that album, that's probably why I was in a band. That's probably how I ended up in a band. At some point, was because of that.
Yeah, that's fair. Specifically, the House of Pain helmet joint, right? That was the one.
Well, yeah, that was the one. It was like, I need to do this. This is what my life has been missing. No, I more mean generally.
Yeah, the concept.
Yes.
Oh, God, there really was a Teenage Fan Club De La Soul track on there, wasn't there?
Yep.
I gotta listen to that thing again.
I suspect most of it is on this phone that I've hooked up here.
Well, I don't want to take you away from Backspin. I was actually listening to that a fair amount earlier in this trip as well. Listening to Ed Lover talk about his Thanksgiving plans.
The Ed Lover show is... Well, so, a lot of their shows, I think, on a lot of their stations are terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, whatever, they talk, and that's fine.
Yeah. You're there for the chatter. You're not really there for anything really meaningful or...
But,
I mean,
like...
Sometimes you get good, like you know, stories from, like, guests or whatever.
Yeah.
But
like, the show hosts only pick the songs that are before and after their breaks.
Right.
They don't pick what's in the middle. Or at least I heard Ed Lover say that at one point. He's like, yeah, we're doing a West Coast show, but I only pick the songs that play before and after you hear me talk, so the rest of the songs, I don't know what they're going to be. Anyway.
I wonder how that system works then.
Yeah.
Like, is there just some other guy, like some other producer, like filling in the blanks when they're not on the air? Like, that's weird.
Well, so a lot of their show times don't have rigid starts and stops.
Right.
So, you know, so they don't necessarily have to have, like, you know, Ed Lover's not turning in, here's 3 hours.
Right.
Music and all. he's turning in his air brakes and his songs, and then, like, the, you know, I don't know if it's a robot or what, but the rest just gets chosen.
Seems like a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah, but I was flipping around, and fucking Mark McGrath has a show.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I forget what the focus of it was, but he was talking about bands that he had toured with, and then, like, played a song from one of them, and then just veered off into just, like, totally not related territory. And the whole thing was just like, I'm gonna choose these songs for you to hear. I'm fucking Mark McGrath.
Woo!
Isn't that fucking cool?
Check me out on Hot Package this season.
Yeah! It's the best thing he's ever done.
It is, by far. The Mark McGrath hologram story was harrowing.
Yeah. But, like, it's just, yeah, I don't know if that, I wonder if that's just something that satellite radio does to try to get bigger names. They're like, hey, look, this is super low touch, just give us fucking 8 songs.
Yeah.
And talk between...
Give us half an hour of you talking.
Yeah.
We'll spread that out.
Yeah, it's just seems like it makes the shows dumber. Or less, like, you know, interesting, I guess.
Yeah. The Ed Lover stuff, I don't know, I feel like is all right, just because Ed Lover is the sort of dude you just want to hear talk dumb shit. Like, I'll listen to Ed Lover and his friends talk about the merits of cold potato salad versus room temperature potato salad.
Sure.
Like, yeah. That's I'm fine with that.
That's a topic you can get into.
Yeah.
I feel like any time I turn it on, it's Ed Lover talking about boxing. It's just like there's some fight coming up, and they're like, nah, man, fuck that! About the fight.
Yep.
Like, okay. Seems like something, yeah, Ed Lover is up in arms about this fight that just happened or is about to happen, or he has strong opinions about who's going to win said fight.
Is other Dr. Dre still with us? I feel like I haven't heard anything from him in a long time.
The two of them were doing New York radio for a while, and then they stopped. I don't want to say he is still with us, but I can't say for sure.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah.
You just got an email from the good folks at Ubisoft saying that Rainbow Six Siege has shipped.
Great.
I want to write back and say, are you certain about that?
Are you sure? Is this press release accurate?
Are you sure you didn't just release the beta? Which, as far as I'm aware, you had still delayed. Is the beta going to come out after the game?
Yeah, will there be... When is the...
How do I play this stupid game?
One Xavier Woods has been putting up multiple videos of the single-player mode in Rainbow Six Siege, the situations mode, where you push a button to start a situation.
I would like to start a situation.
Yes, and I played a little bit of that yesterday to try to talk about it on the podcast, and like enough of the servers were, you know, there just weren't anybody other people playing it, so
right.
I didn't really, you know, it didn't really come up.
Well, good news, you can talk about it on the Beastcast later this week.
Great, yeah. I'll have plenty to say.
Yeah,
like
with
this,
all the time
like
you're
this chestnut.
In.
I think that game's real bad. It looks like a free-to-play game. It's built like a free-to-play game. It has the animations of a low-end free-to-play game.
So I was really hoping, after playing it at E3, that I just got a bad demo of that game. Because it was in, like, the training map, and it was... I mean, it was a regular match, but it wasn't a particularly interesting-looking or designed map.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, maybe I just got a bad deal here. But the more I've heard people talk about that game, the less I think my experience
And that was... You got that demo a year after I got my demo, right?
Yeah, I got mine this year.
Okay, yeah. So I got mine last year, and that game looked really good. Like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, visually.
Oh, I remember. You were super excited about that first demo they showed.
Right. And everything since that, you know, they put out a beta, they put out, you know, the multiple betas, and then you playing it and stuff. Like, oh, wait, what happened? No, okay. And now I'm looking at it and going and wondering, because their whole pitch when I played it last year was, hey, we're using the Assassin's Creed engine.
Yeah.
But we're only rendering a fucking house, so there's all types of cool shit we can do visually because it's such a smaller space. And, like, other than being able to blow up walls, which is kind of cool, there's nothing visually about that game that seems out of the ordinary or interesting and, in some cases, good.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I thought it looked kind of muddy and crappy.
Like playing, so they said the Xbox One version, so I fired that up, and it's just like, it is this, like, muddy, grainy, just, like, the menus look like placeholders. Like, there's a lot of stuff around that game, but also, like, the very core of it that just looks, like, really half-baked. And it's just like, what? Okay, what the fuck happened? Is that what happens when your game shifts to December? It's just like, cut all ties, man. This one's not coming together the way we thought it would. I don't know. It's such a weird thing.
I mean, based on what we know now of the Just Cause console versions, maybe that is, in fact, true.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I guess maybe Xenoblade is, like, the one exception there, but also that is an incredibly weird and dense game that I would imagine Nintendo does not have a strong idea of how to market.
Yeah, and that's a game that sells the exact same number of copies to the exact same number of people, regardless of what you do. You know, like, that crowd knows what they want with that.
Yeah.
Like, and you're not going to market that to people. Also, that many people.
Also, in a weird way, December, like early December, is a perfect time for that game because there's nothing else coming out for like a month.
Yeah,
so
it's
people
actually
play it.
It's actually a pretty good, like, hey, you finished Fallout.
Here's another really long thing.
Play this. I kind of want to play that. I don't know that I will, but it looks interesting.
Hearing Austin tell me that the mechs don't even show up until like 30 hours in or something says to me that, okay, I bet this game's real cool, but I'm not going to have the patience for it.
Damn. Yeah, like, you have to unlock individual hero, like, individual, like, characters in Rainbow Six.
Mm.
And
like, the different units?
Yeah, yeah. And it just kind of comes up and says, like, hey, we recommend you don't play the multiplayer until you've unlocked 3 attackers and 3 defenders. Like, what? Okay.
That seems like it'd take a while.
Yeah. It takes a little time. Or you could perhaps purchase a renown booster that will give you more renown points that you can use to unlock things more quickly.
How about instead of that, you bite my warm ass?
God. You know, if those are the two options, you're really putting me in a bind here.
Sorry, man. It's like, I don't make the rules. This is just the way the game is played.
Well, I mean, I guess if I don't want to spend money on, like, coin doublers, especially ones that don't, that, like, run out. Because that's the thing the worst type of free-to-play games do.
Yep.
So I guess maybe I would bite your warm ass?
All right. Choice made.
Is there a distinction as to where on the ass? I mean, if I have to do this.
No, you can do it on the side or whatever. It's fine.
Okay.
You don't have to
okay.
get, like, right in there.
Okay.
Yeah, this okay. is just, like, it's just on the cheeks, okay.
Okay. I mean, that's still not at the top of my list of things I'm, like, totally into doing, but...
But you'll live with yourself.
Buying
afterward.
A 7-day renown boost is, like, probably a rung or two lower on that list. For any game.
That's fair.
Anything that you buy that then is like, all right, now play this game all at once, because you paid for a thing that makes it more valuable for you to be playing it right this second. Like, fuck that. It's the fucking worst.
Ugh. I wonder how that game's gonna do. Knowing that Assassin's Creed Syndicate did not do particularly well.
Really?
No, so I've heard some people kicking around numbers that it I mean, I guess it's selling okay, but it is like the numbers are considerably down from last year.
Well, I mean, you know, if you look at, like, that's exactly the case of, like, hey, last year's game sucked shit, I'm not going to buy another one of these.
Yeah.
You know, and then word of mouth will eventually get out to a point where maybe next year people go, oh, I heard last year's game was pretty good. And it's just the same pattern, though stuff like that does seem to just, like, lead to things just being down year over year over year. Like Call of Duty, when it's good, it's still down. When it's bad, it's still down, you know?
Yeah.
From where they want it to be, or where it once was.
Yeah, I mean, even as someone who liked Syndicate a good bunch, like, I also sort of don't... Like, I don't feel a lot of, strong need to go out and be like, no, you should really go out and play this. It's more like, well...
This is better than the last one.
If you still like these, then yeah, you should own this, but I don't know, like...
Yeah, I played some of it. I think it's cool. Like, I was pleasantly surprised. Because there were things about the setting and just like, oh, you're twin characters! And like, the stuff that was just like, I don't know, that's not necessarily what...
Yeah.
What's gonna get me back on board.
I still have this working theory that the sister was put in fairly late into that development cycle.
Huh. I haven't played enough of it to see the cutscenes and stuff. So you mean like maybe she was in the cutscenes but not a playable character?
I'm gonna say she wasn't around and they rewrote a bunch of stuff to make it so that her arc was different. The reason I think that is because there is a... And this is a very slight spoiler, which I will try to not say in detail, but there is a unlockable thing that appears way late in the game that sort of ties into the future stuff.
Yeah.
That also features a woman character model that looks an awful lot like Evie.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of thinking maybe they just realized, well, maybe we could just redo this model and put her into the main game, and then we can just keep this other stuff, too.
Huh. Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know.
Right.
There's something about the way that game was structured that led me to think they split that story somewhere late in the game.
Hmm.
Also, some of the cutscenes they showed, even with Jacob and Evie, in some of the early promo stuff, just didn't make it into that final game.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Regardless, I like that game. I just don't have a whole lot of energy to be like championing it. You know.
There's stuff about it that I like. You know, I don't think that game should have two separate skill trees.
No.
That's silly.
Especially when the number of skills that are separate between the characters are like 5 out of 30.
Right. Like that specifically. Like there's so much stuff they do that like you can write off as like, well, you're playing a video game about playing a video game, so... There's a lot of fucking dumb shit we can do here that and you know the suspension of disbelief is not totally broken because you know you're not going to assassinate someone and get this grand speech in a crazy white room unless you're playing a video game inside of a video game.
Right. I will say I am super glad they brought those back because that those parts actually make those assassinations a lot more interesting and Unity not having them sucked.
What?
A lot of things about Unity sucked,
like, you know,
but
like that's the kind of the least of Unity's problems. Like,
but just like everyone you were killing in that game, like all the main characters, like none of them had any real personality, and there was no real like I never really understood how they tied in to anything other than just like the real basic security or not security, conspiracy, like flashback stuff, which was just not interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. There are parts about even the new one that still seem, like, clunky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the zipline stuff does not always work as well as it should.
Yeah, and just the movement. The, like, free run up, free run down stuff, I think, like, I understand why they wanted to put that in.
Yep.
You know, a while. That was it 4 where they put that in, or was that 3?
Might have been 3.
Yeah.
4 had it.
Yeah.
I remember very little about 3, because I only got about, like, 10 hours in that game and said, I don't want to do this anymore.
I think I didn't even make it that far in before I was going, like, nope, this sucks. Yeah, but it's, I don't know, I feel like for a game that has gone so far to, like, simplify a lot of video game control schemes, like, that... something they could probably find a better way to solve.
Yeah. It's better than it was in Unity, where I would get stuck on weird pieces of the scenery. Like, you know, I would walk next to a table and then suddenly I was up on top of it and couldn't get off for some reason.
Yeah.
They fixed a lot of that, but... some of that stuff is still not as smooth as it should be.
I like the lady. She's got her murder cane. I think that's a lot of fun because she really, really fucks people up with that thing.
Dude, the combat animations in that game are brutal. I mean, that game's always been brutal, but they have just gotten even more ridiculous.
Yeah, she's just fucking people up with that thing, and I appreciate that. But I guess you can give the guy a cane, too,
You can give either of them any of the weapons.
That's what I thought, okay.
I eventually gave him the sword because, I don't know, just some of the kills with that thing are nightmarish. Mm. And the Nux weren't really doing it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a cool game.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, what of the big stuff is actually selling well besides Fallout right now? It's like Call of Duty, I guess, is probably still doing well, but just down.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you know, selling millions of copies. It's just, you know...
Yeah.
It's not...
I mean, it sounds like Tomb Raider's numbers were pretty bad for a variety of reasons.
Well, yeah. The people throwing those numbers around, I think, are, like, forgetting that, you know, Square Enix took a big chunk of money from Microsoft for that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But still, you know, considering how they framed the original one as kind of a failure despite selling, like, a few million copies.
But also, it's like they're only out on one platform, and the only sales numbers that I think have been going around have been European ones, and the Xbox One did not penetrate Europe. Particularly well at all. So it's just like, you know, that particular slice of the numbers doesn't tell enough of a story to
say. So is North America really the only place, like,
it is the Microsoft stronghold. It is. And even here, it's, you know. I think it's different now, but the numbers for North America are closer than one might think.
Right.
Like, last time I saw them, they were like, oh, that's actually... like, within striking distance, but of course, no one in Japan is ever going to buy an Xbox One. Not that they're buying PS4s with any regularity either. And then, you know, Europe has its weird Sony thing. Kind of always has.
Yeah. Real Danny Kabicki says, the GameStop COO guy said on a sales expectations call that Fallout 4 and Call of Duty hit them. Halo 5, Syndicate, and Battlefront did not. Did not hit their expectations.
Oh, yeah.
For initial numbers. Now, granted, I wonder how much of that has to do with digital sales, because that's just GameStop talking.
Yeah, and GameStop kind of had to come out and say, like, hey, we haven't seen any change in sales based on digital stuff, or we haven't heard anything about digital sales for, like Halo was the thing of, like, there was some number, like, someone was trying to kick around that, like, 50% of all Halo 5 sales were digital.
Right.
Which I don't know if that's true or not. But then GameStop had to be very, which, you know, like, protective of their business. Say, no, we haven't heard anything about any kind of higher than expected digital sales. I don't know what you're talking about. Just Halo's down, I guess. I don't know. All right.
Second, they definitely understand exactly what their digital percentage was. They know exactly what they sold, and they know exactly what was sold digitally. So, again, I would encourage you to go back and ask Microsoft to disclose that number. But, again, we talk with platform holders and publishers constantly. We have, again, this quarter. And we are in full understanding and full belief that there is no game that was launched this quarter that was materially above a normal digital percent at launch.
Yeah. Which, you know... is not wrong, but at the same time, like, of course, that's
they have to frame it a certain way.
You know, that's how GameStop would frame it.
Yeah.
Fuck, man, I got home and fired up Steam to play Just Cause, which I had preloaded, and that took 45 minutes to, like, unpack the preload.
Oh, jeez.
It would have been faster for me to delete it and download it from scratch. It's just fucking stupid. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the business is in such a fucking weird spot. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, Sony's out there, like, we sold a fucking fuck ton of consoles. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
people want consoles. You know, it's like Microsoft for, you know, like they're not doing bad.
Right.
You know, they're still, you know, if you take the, you know, the very particular way they're framing their stuff is like, well, we're ahead of where the 360 was at this point. It's like, okay, well, that's not unimpressive.
Yeah.
Like, you're not the market leader, but it's, you know, it's not like you're selling zero consoles.
But also, I feel like Microsoft does not play well from the second position. Like, they never have. Like, they've...
Yeah, no.
They've always been kind of weird and desperate when they when that happens. And, you know, the whole 360 generation, they were in the lead. And I don't think they ever really thought about how they would keep that lead. They just assumed they would.
Yeah, yeah. That's another case where it's like you start to total up the worldwide numbers, and you know the PS3 was not quite the dismal failure as it often came across in this.
Well, especially
territory.
Late in the game, like it caught up.
Yeah, it kind of came on. It was too little, too late in the grand scheme of things. Like developers had already made their decisions regarding what platforms to target and all that shit. But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just what games are people buying with this stuff? You know, for all the consoles that everyone's talking about, how they're selling. Like, what is everyone playing? Because you just wonder if, like, you know, maybe we finally hit that weird point where there isn't going to be any big, massive sales sensation that, like, it falls into that category of, like, this is a traditional kind of console game or traditional kind of video-ass video game. Your Halos and your Call of Duties and your Metal Gears and stuff. Like, maybe it's just distributed across everything else that's left.
Yeah.
Or... Yeah, I don't know. It's just... it's still really weird to just, like, go to the storefronts on either one of those two consoles and just see, like, oh, here's, like, another 10 games I've never heard of because they're just, like, indie things that I guess are probably in early access on Steam or something, but there's so many games coming out on Steam now, like, I can't keep up with that either. Like, it's weird. Like, I'm on the press list for this PlayStation thing this weekend. And we're getting so many fucking, like, requests for appointments from people that are going to be exhibiting games there.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard of 80% of them. The companies or the games.
Right.
You know, in some cases. Where it's like, what? Wait.
Well, it's interesting because it essentially boils down to Sony going out and signing all these, you know, games to come to the platform.
Right.
And then kind of leaving it up to them to do all the promotion for it.
Yeah. Like, Sony will get behind a handful of those games and do real deals with them, but then at the same time, like, anyone can go fucking sign up to publish on PS4. Like, they've made it. Like, those barriers are gone. And that's why you see, like, Tennis in the Face. You know, it's like these fucking mobile games that are getting shoddily ported to PS4. And, like, fine, you know, whatever. Like, more games are better than fewer games, I guess. But, like, at the same time, just look at this stuff, go like, what? Why am I gonna, you know, why would I ever play this game on a PlayStation? But it's like, no one's buying a PlayStation 4 to play that type of stuff. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Like, there are plenty of indie games and plenty of smaller games that I think are, like, great and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm like, it's at some point I probably just start to sound like I'm trying to be some kind of arbiter for that sort of stuff. But, like, it's just, like, they're saturating that console's storefront in a way that it's not currently built to handle, and so, and Sony's not doing a great job, I don't think Microsoft is either, of, like, pointing people at the stuff that is actually worth a fuck.
Yep. Oh, and it's like, you know, with Microsoft, they don't have maybe quite the volume, but their storefront still isn't much better set up for that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And with Nintendo, it's like, there are indie things appearing on those Nintendo stores, but, like, fuck all if you'll ever hear about them.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's like that Typo Man game kind of floated in out of nowhere, and that was kind of neat. Like, that affordable space adventures game, I think, like, Adelman or whatever was behind that, so at least it got a marketing push somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's, like, that's kind of it. Everything else felt like it just kind of came and went.
Yep.
Like, every couple of weeks or so, I'll just go look through that store and just go, what is any of this?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's really figured out that problem, is the how to present the volume of things that you are now selling.
Right. Yeah, none of them build their store for that, and as it's become more and more of a thing, like, you know, they're not adjusting fast enough.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe the numbers are such that, like, no one's really digging for that stuff, you know? Because, like, I always go to, like, show me the everything new that showed up in the store this week, and maybe, right. like, no one is actually using that view of the store, which is even weirder, because then how are people finding those games at all? Like, how many copies are some of those games even selling with zero push?
My guess is if they're finding them at all, it's because some YouTuber that they follow
sure.
is yeah, covering
yeah.
it.
Right, yeah. MLG fucking tennis in the face mm-hmm. players.
Tennis in the face reaction video. Yep. HD gameplay.
Face cam. Like, that's a number I would actually love to see, like, at the end of the holidays. Like, so, what did people actually play? Like, what games got the most time? Like, distributed across the however many number of users or whatever. You know, I'm sure, like, you know, Fallout ends up winning on both. In terms of time spent and copies sold. But, like, below that, what...
I would hazard to guess Witcher probably has similar time, but yeah, not nearly the sales
right.
numbers, obviously.
Yeah.
So that game, by all accounts, sounds like it was a pretty big success for them, so...
Oh, yeah, totally. But, you know, like, it's... I think it sold, like, over half its copies on PC or something,
yeah.
so, you know, it's...
I'm just kind of... It's interesting that basically the two biggest games of the year were giant RPGs that were definitely not the most, like, user-friendly games sold this year.
Yeah. I don't know that I would call either of those the biggest, like, maybe in terms of size and scope. But
well, and also, of, I mean, like, for Fallout, definitely sales.
Yes, yeah. yeah. But yeah, I don't know, like, I feel like...
MGS5, too.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. I think that there's a core of people that are still very loyal to Halo and are still sticking with that and playing that a lot, but, you know, that's... Maybe they're just... Maybe that's the other thing, is, like, now it's just those people are just off quietly doing that and you don't hear about it.
Right.
You know, it's... You know, the numbers don't get released. The... You just, like... I assume people are out there playing a bunch of Halo and probably enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, even if it did sell under expectations, I imagine their expectations were probably ludicrously high for a Halo game.
Right.
Even though it is, like, the eighth goddamn Halo game or whatever.
They did win that month, I think. Over Sony.
Mm.
And then I guess there were some... It was after we recorded the podcast, we'll go up today, but I guess someone else was out there claiming that there was some specific SKU of the Xbox One that ended up being the biggest-selling Black Friday item.
Mm.
Which I had heard... I think it was Best Buy or something. It said that the PS4 was their hottest item.
Mm.
But I don't know who's saying what, but it seems like the consoles did well.
Jay Dillinger notes that Bloodborne did a little over 2 million, which,
yeah.
even as someone who did not like Bloodborne very much, I find that encouraging.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily know what the expectations for games like that are these days. You know, like, Bloodborne is kind of it's a real big fucking game. Like, people really care about it.
And one of the only, like, meaningful PlayStation exclusives this year
sure,
at all.
Yeah. At the same time, for, like, a game that, like, has that kind of profile, like, 2 million doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah.
But having played a lot of Bloodborne, I can say 2 million is probably about right. In terms of, like, there are plenty of people that probably shouldn't play that game.
Yep.
And would not get anything out of it.
I am one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of want all of the... Or not all, but... I feel like a lot of the old guard game franchises that have been propping up various publishers for a generation now, like, you're really starting to see it, you know?
Yep. The fatigue.
Yeah. Like, you're seeing Assassin's Creed. You're seeing, like, the sins that they have committed with Assassin's Creed, like, coming home to roost in any form of, you know, significantly lower sales or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, you're seeing... you know, Halo kind of hit, but not in, maybe not in, like, a lasting fashion. In terms of just, like, mainstream discussion, like, I don't know if there are people out there like, man, you gotta play Halo. And it's like, oh, it's Halo's coming out, you know.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just the circles I run in, but I feel like I heard a lot more excited chatter around, you know, the updates to Destiny than I did Halo 5.
Yep. Yeah, I wonder, like, how much, and that's, I've saw some people kind of trying to relay that point of, like, Destiny being a game that has, like, at least, you know, it's false, but, it has some semblance of stakes in terms of you having a character that you're building.
Right.
That, like, going back and playing, like, a story-driven, kind of straightforward first-person shooter, you're in, you're out kind of thing, was maybe not doing it for him the same way. Yeah, they made Destiny okay. They made that thing alright.
I'm glad to hear it. I know I'll never get back into it, but I'm glad that they managed to refashion that thing into something more compelling.
I'd say give them a couple years, and then maybe give it a shot.
Yeah.
Because if they can keep up this clip of, like, turning that game around, if they keep, like, making that level of improvement to it with each kind of year, then they'll eventually get to a point where that's a pretty fucking killer game. Like, it has moments that are really great. But it's still the sort of thing, like, you know, that thing they put out this year is, like, you look at it and go, like, oh, okay, great, you have established a new baseline from which to work from. Like, this is now a game you could theoretically recommend to someone. It would still come with caveats. You'd still be like, well, you know, like, the campaign is very repetitive. Like, it's still,
yeah,
you know, those story missions are still you running up to a thing, and then now at least it's Nolan North popping out to say, defend me while I look at this computer. But it is still very much a game about defending your fucking robot as he looks at the computer.
Right. And that was definitely the part that had me going, no.
Yeah.
After I hit about level 15 or so.
Yeah. Yeah. Battlefront Under Expectations is interesting. But I guess maybe not.
It also hasn't been out that long.
Also maybe, like, kind of encouraging. Like, well, yeah, maybe the holiday sales. Maybe it's, you know, like, as the movie comes out and as people get their Christmas shopping going.
Yeah.
That'll be a game that see some lift there, but, like, that game's not great.
Yeah, I also just wonder if maybe that's not the Star Wars game that people are looking for right now. Like, maybe another mindless, you know, shooter is not necessarily.
Shooters overall seem like they're not what they used to be, so on some level, a Star Wars shooter is still a shooter. Maybe people aren't necessarily.
Like, maybe the real test comes whenever that Visceral game comes out.
Yeah.
Chat appears to be tearing itself apart trying to figure out whether the Destiny stuff this year is technically DLC or if it is a separate game.
Well, it's DLC. It requires the base game. It's not
right. But is an expansion technically a standalone or a separate product, or is it, does it count as DLC?
Well, they sold it both ways.
Yeah.
It sold as, you know, downloadable add-on to the base game, and also But, like, the disc copies they sold, were it was like a Game of the Year edition type right. situation where it was just the base game with some DLC codes to, you know, download or, you know, to activate the expansion or whatever.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think that counts as DLC.
Yeah, I think for, like, a wiki perspective, I often think that we should probably go back and take all the PC expansions of the 90s and merge them into their core game page as like a DLC type thing. Unless it's standalone. You know, if it boots on its own, it's its own thing.
Right.
But Taken King does not boot on its own. It just comes with base Destiny. I like the idea that MC Search comes up from New York, or up to New York from his Florida home for, like, 2 days a month to say, "Backspin, baby," into a microphone.
And then goes home.
Here's Ed Lover talking to Snoop Dogg.
Ah, Juvenile.
And the classics, classic hip-hop. Mm-hmm. Classic hip-hop is back.
Someone who plays a lot of goddamn video games, I do find myself using other apps and other applications on that thing more often than not.
I haven't been, really. It's, like, there was a time when I was watching the WWE Network on, like, PS4 or Xbox or something, but, even with what little wrestling I do see, it's now in a window on my second monitor so that I can do something else with my time.
Right. Someone in here asked earlier if I had watched Raw last night. The answer is no, I did not.
How'd that feel?
All right.
You didn't get to see Tommy Dreamer's return, though.
No, I saw the image that went around of it, so I saw that happened.
Okay. This is a question for, you know, another wrestling podcast. Should we record one of those? But we were talking about with that NWA stuff. But do you think any old wrestling holds up?
That's a hard question.
Because, like, you know, I really liked all the NWO stuff, and, you know, the Attitude Era stuff. You know. I remember at the time thinking some of it was all right, but I was not watching a lot of it at the time. And, like, the bits and pieces of that I've gone back and tried to watch, like, in its entirety. Like, when they take their clips and they're very choosy about what they show,
yeah,
all of it looks good. But when you actually go watch that stuff in context, it's all fucking terrible.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is that there are bits and pieces of the stuff that you remember being great that I think do hold up. Like, there are moments.
Yeah.
And certain matches that hold up, that sort of stand the test of time, but, like, that's maybe 10%, if you're lucky, of right. all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can go back and watch some of those, like, mid-90s WCW pay-per-views, and there are, like, you know, maybe two or three matches on those shows that are still amazing. And then everything else is just trash. Just absolute trash. And then if yeah. you want to get, like, you know, nerdier about it, like, I can go back on fucking, you know, New Japan World or whatever, go watch, like, the Super J Cup 94 or whatever, and, like, that shit's all still great. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that is just, you know, that's the like, match quality is not going to change. Like, great matches are still going to be great matches. I guess I more mean the surrounding storylines and the presentation and...
Yeah. And again, I think it's those moments that do hold up, but a lot of them don't. Like, especially, you know, during that Attitude Era stuff, like, that stuff is so of its time.
Yeah.
The Austin McMahon stuff, I think, generally holds together. I think some of the Rock stuff generally holds together. But a lot of it is just junk.
Yeah, and, like, it's for me, it's, like, a lot of, like, just straight up watching the Rock speak does not have any impact whatsoever anymore.
Yeah.
Because the words coming out of his mouth, the things that were considered risque, are so fucking passé now. That it's just like, oh, is this the part of The Rock's career where he was just talking about pie a lot and started wagging his tongue while saying, if you smell what The Rock is cooking? Because that was a dark period.
Yeah.
That was when they put out that album where he sang that song about pie and Slick Rick was on it or something.
This is all coming back to me in that way.
And you go, like, you think about the albums they put out around that period of, like, we're going to have mainstream stars performing versions of the Superstars We Make Movies. And that stuff is just fucking embarrassing.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't, you know, I can't imagine a world in which I would show that to someone and go, oh, no, wrestling was better before. You know, I know it's been real rough lately, but check this shit out. Like, they'd watch that and go, this is exactly the same, except somehow more sad.
Yep. And it's like on the WCW side, you know, some of that early NWO stuff was interesting. And then for, like, the first, like, 2 weeks of the split was interesting.
Yep.
And then everything else was just horseshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dungeon of Doom, though, that really holds up.
Yeah, that's, yeah. So, it's, I mean, but that's the stuff that, the only stuff that I think holds up is the stuff that is, like, ironically ridiculous. You know, stuff
so
you can watch right now. Yeah, that you watch right now and just go like, oh, man, look at Kevin Nash dressed up like a fucking wizard. Fucking what?
Zodiac.
Yeah. Look at Kevin Sullivan anytime, any day. Look at the fucking Freebirds. Go look at the fucking Rock and Roll Express and fucking tell me just how rock and roll those fucking two guys are.
They were like 80s rock and roll.
They were like, yeah, they were like 80s like southern rock and roll.
Yeah, they were 80s like kind of,
they're like
butt rock.
Yeah, it's like, hey man, you like 38 Special? Hell fucking yeah, we're the Rock and Roll Express! Like, oh fuck. Like, Ricky Morton, when he opens his mouth, is the antithesis of rock and roll.
Yep. People bringing up Mick Foley and Terry Funk and all that stuff. And yeah, I mean, some of those weird hardcore things were interesting, especially when WWE tried to sort of implement that stuff and make that part of their repertoire.
Yeah.
Like, that got weird for a while.
Yeah, it was weird and interesting, for sure.
Yeah.
And, I think those are matches that are interesting spectacles. And, you know, fucking, like...
And the hardcore title stuff was funny.
Yeah, like, their comedy hardcore title stuff, I think, was great. Because it was just fucking ridiculous. And, you know, yeah, all right, let's fucking throw Terry Funk in a fucking dumpster. Let's fucking beat up Terry Funk. Isn't that crazy? This man is so old. This is insane. Like, that stuff, yeah, that stuff is legitimately interesting. But I think you'd have to be pretty far down the fucking path to understand why.
Yep.
And, like, the storyline reasons for those matches are certainly not...
They're not good.
Well acted.
No.
Or, you know, like, hey, I love Terry Funk. I would like to... How great would it be if Terry Funk was a member of your family and you could go to holiday things and Terry Funk was there just being crazy Terry Funk?
Yep.
Or just being sore old Terry Funk that would maybe tell you a story or two. Either of those would be great. But...
then Dory Funk just kind of sits there, doesn't say much.
Yeah, well, yeah. But yes, the issues between the participants in a lot of those contests were not,
not good.
Put forth especially well, yeah. Or acted especially well, or...
Also, let's not forget that all of that led to WCW trying their own hardcore thing and then just getting a whole bunch of people injured in the process.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Because I was watching ECW One Night Stand, the first one, which I recorded on my TiVo 10 years ago. And, oh, by the way, that show happened 10 years ago. And was trying to decrypt and compress into a more proper MPEG. Because now it has like 3 minutes of DirecTV bumpers on either side of it, and it's a 7-gig file. And I'm like, this, it's interlaced. I'm like, I could probably clean this over the weekend, trying so, and could not get the audio and video to sync up. And the only reason I want it is because it has the original audio.
Right.
With all the music and stuff like that. But so I spent some time watching that, and I remember the time that seeming in, like, an insane show. Like, the idea that it was happening at all, and just, like, all this stuff, it was like, oh my god. And now you even just, you go look at that fucking Paul Heyman promo, where he fucking gets in the ring and says Matt Hardy, and you're like, oh man, what? And now all that just seems like the dumbest, fucking corniest shit in the world. I don't know.
Yeah. The ECW stuff actually has been, like, the hardest thing to try and go back and
that
watch.
That stuff is fucking rough.
I realize exactly how much that stuff was built for 14-year-old me.
Yeah, and, like, of the 90s, specifically.
Yeah.
14-year-old, if you were 14 right now, I don't think any of that would
No, it wouldn't seem nearly as exciting.
Or it would not be edgy in any way.
No.
Like, the world has gotten so much filthier than it was then. Like, it's stuff that, like, was edgy for wrestling.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man. They have a storyline where this lady's pregnant. That's crazy. Oh, there's...
Oh, that guy's got a trash can.
Oh, guy's bleeding everywhere. That guy's the human suplex machine.
New Jack just jumped off something.
They added some Smoky Mountain wrestling shows to WWE Network last night.
Oh, wow, all right. That's some stuff I've never watched before.
It's fucking weird. Because it's 1994.
Okay.
And it looks like it was maybe produced in 1987.
Okay.
And their whole pitch is, it's like, it's wrestling the way it used to be. Like, their whole pitch is, like, which is like, it's got this almost racist tinge to it of just like, it's gonna be this real southern wrestling for y'all. Some wrestling. It's like, fuck Jim Cornette, what?
Well, Jim Cornette,
yeah. And it's like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't know. There's something about like wrestling the way it used to be that just seems real like some fucking code words.
Mm-hmm.
But also, that is where New Jack kind of got his start, in a way, I guess. Which I want to see some of that stuff, because that actually sounds legitimately kind of fucking nuts.
What was his deal there?
It was him and Mustafa, the Gangstas.
Right.
And they got to win on a two count because of affirmative action.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It sounds real fucking nuts. Like, I kind of want to see how that actually played out on that. Like the little bits that I watched of it last night, and how just fucking cracker-ass southern it plays.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine that I want to see how that stuff plays. Like, it just seems fucking nuts.
Sounds like it. Holy shit. I mean, I give them all the credit in the world for actually securing those tape libraries and putting them up where people can watch them, but also, holy shit.
Yeah, no, I that's, that stuff's always, that is why I still pay for that thing.
Yeah.
Like, I hope there's some statistic somewhere that said, this guy hadn't watched anything on our streaming service for months, and then we added these shows, and then suddenly he started watching a lot of it. Like, oh,
Well, now we've, now we know what we have to do. We have to put more weird old indie wrestling from the late 80s and early 90s
up. More fucking weird garbage-ass garbage. I did eventually end up playing some Just Cause last night.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I think that game would be better if they took out the game part of it.
If it was just the sandbox?
Yeah. I was just like, alright, fucking... But, you know, I did a bunch of missions to, like, get into it. You know, it kind of has some setup, and you have to unlock the wingsuit, and, you know, some shit like that. And then by the end of that, I was like, oh, all right, finally. Now I can just, like, tether this man to a car and watch the car drag him for a while.
Yep.
And, like, I ended up tethering two cars together and then getting in stunt position on one of the cars and then retracting the cable to make the cars collide. And one of the cars, the car that I was on top of, drove off the road and flipped over, but I was still on top of it, like, magnetized to it in stunt position. Like, all right, yes, that's what I wanted.
That's the kind of stupid
you
came for.
That's the type of stupid I'm here to see.
You're here for that. Yeah, watching Vinny navigate that thing led me to a similar conclusion, which is that the story missions really are just a means to getting out into the world and causing a bunch of fucking...
But it's like them locking a bunch of upgrades behind, like, the challenges, which are then locked behind you liberating parts of the world.
Right.
Is not great.
Yeah.
Because, like, seeing those guys playing around with, like, the booster jets and stuff like that, or booster bombs or whatever, it's like attaching rockets to stuff. And then having it blow up. Like, I want to do that, but I can't do that yet, because I don't have the stuff for it yet. And I want more tethers so that I can cause more fucking dumb shit to happen, but I can't do that yet. And, like, the stuff I have to do to get there, like, I'm not actually sure is that much fun.
Apparently, Platinum is making a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that a bit yesterday. I don't understand how many people work at Platinum. because I feel like we came out of E3 with the news being Platinum is making everything.
Yep.
And they're continuing to.
I didn't play a ton of Devastation, but it seemed alright.
Yeah, it's cool. It's, I mean, it's not amazing, you know, yeah. It doesn't play, you know, it's not like some fucking awesome
it's a solid action game,
but yeah, you know.
Looks real good.
Yes, it looks real good. It's, the fan service is great.
Yeah.
As someone who has been waiting, you know, 30 years for them to make a proper fucking Transformers video game starring the cast of proper fucking Transformers.
Yep.
They finally fucking made one.
Yep.
And it's not perfect. Like, you know, it could have more characters in it. It could, you know, the combo systems could be more differentiated per character. You should be able to play as the Decepticons. You know, there's just, like,
there's more they could have done.
There's definitely stuff. But for what they made and how fucking bad so many Transformers games are.
Yep.
It's great. It's by default the best Transformers game. A lot of people like those games that High Moon made, but it's just, it was not quite right. And the stuff they did to the vehicle forms to, like, make the video game part of it work, I think, just kind of.
I feel like I remember kind of liking the first High Moon game and then not liking any of the other ones. There's, how many were there after that?
I'd say there was three in all, and maybe they didn't make the last one. I forget what it was. But it was like, you know, they still had to make them all turn into fucking dumb future cars that could all strafe because they wanted to make a car combat game. And
right.
No one wants to line up your aiming by three-point turning their way into aiming at something. So
right.
They just said, fuck it, you can strafe. Like with the Batmobile in this year's Batman game. Fuck it, it's a tank too.
Yeah, hey, remember when there was a Batman game this year?
Barely. I only remember it because of the PC version being so fucked.
Yeah.
Like, that was a game I had next to no interest in playing.
So I played a bunch of it, and even after, you know, spending, like, I don't know, like, 15 hours on it or whatever, I have no real feelings toward it. It's just kind of there. Like, it was a completely competent one of those games, but also none of it was registering with me.
Yeah, I just, you know, the first two were great fucking games, and then I think Origins was, you know, just didn't push things forward, and then this just seems like the things they tried to, the directions they went in didn't necessarily make the rest of the game any better. It was just like, I don't know, how about more Batmobile stuff? Like,
yeah.
No. But if they had just made another one of those games, I don't, you picked the, what, why would you cross the street?
That's something.
I'm gonna wait for the light to go the other way, and then I'm gonna cut across. Fucking Axel Foley fucking mentality. That game, fucking who cares? Like, it was like in the initial stages of people getting bummed out about the PC version, it was hard for me to care, because I was on the side of like, yeah, but it's not like the console version's a fucking great game either. Like, there's right. No...
I mean, yes, you got the worst version, and that sucks.
Yeah,
but
like, keep in mind that even running right, this is not a great game.
No.
And I ended up playing it on a PC and didn't have any real big problems.
For
whatever reason.
As apart from the technical issues people were having, like, there were just some things that were weird about it. Like, you know, textures missing and that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think, it took me, like, one game longer than it took Brad, I think, of, like, coming to that realization. They're like, you know what? The first Batman game, that's an awesome game. Like, I think with the second one, he was like, the big city kind of gets away from the, you know, how tight that first game was.
And yep.
At the time, I was like, no, the second game's fucking awesome. Like, it's everything bigger. Like, no, actually, after Origins came out, after, and this one, I was like, you know what? You're right. there's something about the economy of that first game that they...
I mean, the first game almost had, like... I mean, it wasn't... Obviously, it wasn't, but it had some horror game-like qualities to it because it was so such a confined area. But it was also, like, you were the one stalking people, so it was almost like it was the other perspective
of
it.
Sure, sure.
And I liked that. And, I mean, you can still do that in City and in Night, but... Yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, I feel like the whole thing got just so outsized and so cartoonish.
Right. And the scenarios seem forced, where it's like, you know, their whole, you know, thing was built around, like, okay, there are these guys in a tight area and there are gargoyles. Go. And then now they kind of have to, like, force those situations into this wider outdoor area that, in a way that never seems to work quite right. But that first game felt like a fucking Metroid game. It felt like a Castlevania game at times, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, you have the gear you need to go do this thing. And it was small enough, but it still felt big. But it was small enough where you could get around and do your thing. And that's cool. I wonder what those guys will do next.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I wonder what the story is, like, for them. Like, in terms of how they feel coming out of this last Batman game. If they're just like, fuck it, we did it, we're done. Or if they're, like, bummed that it got tarnished by this PC stuff. Probably all of the above, I guess. Like, they picked up that fucking Infinity Ward style of... denying that someone else is making games in your franchise.
Right.
It's the conclusion to Rocksteady's trilogy of Batman games. It's like, yeah, okay, but this is also the fourth Arkham game.
Yep.
It's like, no, it's the conclusion to Rocksteady's trilogy of... You're like, all right, fine.
Just have it.
Like, their desire to disown that game that, you know, sure... It was the first one of those that was disappointing, so... In some ways, Warner forcing that game out probably salted the earth a little bit for that last one, but...
I mean, Origins... Granted, I didn't play a ton of it, but Origins seems so bad, so much as just very middle of the road.
Yeah.
Like, extremely middle of the road.
It felt... unnecessary.
Yeah.
And the things they did to the formula, like their whole like crime scene rewind stuff, some of which actually made it into this last one.
Yep. Yeah, because the investigation stuff, crime investigation stuff is not really good.
Yeah. It was, that first game, the stuff was awesome, I thought.
It was never my favorite part of those games.
Yeah. At the time, it was just, you know, it was like a good break from what you were doing. Like, it was never difficult, but it was like a cool way to represent that part of the Batman character.
Sure.
Straight up on crossing guard duty. There's nothing down here for him to stop us.
Well, there might be later. A truck could show up.
Yeah.
You never know.
And they've dug a big fucking hole over. I haven't been able to see in there because there's always been trucks here. They've
yep.
dug themselves a big fucking hole.
Eventually they're just going to put a building in that hole.
I guess so. All right.
We're here. Is this the button?
Yeah, push that button. See you, everybody.
Bye.
Push that, and then it'll ask you if you're serious about it. And